No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit lifelock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
W-T-L.
It's time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show. Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L. Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Oh, boy. And, oh, I know it's only preseason.
Yeah.
But it's still football.
It's football.
It feels good. And we're going to be talking about my team, the Chicago Bears, to start things off here. And wouldn't you know it, they're a big favorite on the road.
Yeah.
They're a huge favorite.
Yeah.
Minus one.
Minus one. 1 point favorite.
Head into Arrowhead tonight. 7:20 kickoff on the NFL Network. And you were just in Arrowhead, weren't you?
Yeah. Last weekend against the Lions.
You didn't see any highlights or anything, did you?
Yeah, just a little behind the back play from Mahomes. Yeah, doing what he does. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Even though the Chiefs didn't win, they always win. The atmosphere, the tailgate, all that stuff. Yeah. Kansas City is the best for that. But right now, Andy, like you said, the Bears are favored coming in on the road.
Yep.
Bears backers are, you know, kind of flying high right now, Andy, with Hard Knocks cameras, you know, right there.
And they've rallied
back-to-back preseason blowouts, you know.
The Bears have combined for 60 points over the last two preseason games. And I will say this, in the preseason, Eberflus is 7-2 against the spread. He's also 7-2 straight up, but that's on the preseason.
Yeah.
But hey, that's what we're talking.
What I really like about it, Andy, is the defense hasn't given up a single touchdown and only give up three field goals. You know, the competition has been awful, obviously. Yeah. The Bengals have been one of the worst offenses in the preseason, and the Bills have been even worse. But luckily for them, they get another team that hasn't performed very well on either side of the ball with backups. Last week, like I was saying, the Chiefs allowed 459 69 yards and 24 first downs to the Lions.
Yep.
And if it weren't for the three Detroit turnovers, the Lions would have won by even more, just not on the last play of the game.
Yeah.
But additionally, the offense just goes stagnant without Mahomes, without Kelce, without that first group. So
A little bit of a drop-off.
I really do like Chicago in this game.
Yeah.
Even if Mahomes plays the first couple series like he did last game, they're not going to leave him out there too long. I like the Bears just because there's a lot of hungry people on that team, and that defense seems like it's ready to play.
Yeah, so a short track record there, but he is 7-2 against the spread in the preseason. Andy Reid on the other side is 46-49. Actually, a losing record.
What a loser.
What a loser against the spread. However, they have gone over 32 times here in both of their preseason games. So I think that over is what I'm looking at here. I mean, it's going to be a coin flip. I hate betting road dogs in this spot. I get it. I like Chicago. I like what they've been able to do thus far. It's just still going into Arrowhead. I don't care who's out there. It's going to be a tough scenario. And also the Bears are going to be playing a lot of their backups. Third string guys as well. So then that even adds to the toss up. I think the over might be the safest bet here.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on the over, but I am still sticking with the Chicago Bears. I saw that the Chiefs really don't have a second option at a lot of positions last week, and I think that's the way it kind of looks. But when you're the best at the first time position, you know, that kind of works out for him. No, give me the Bears. Give me that 1 point. I believe they get the victory.
All right. Well, let's move on to a Friday game.
Let's do
then. Baltimore Ravens are heading on the road to close out the preseason here to Green Bay to take on the Packers, where they find themselves a 3-point dog to the Pack.
Yeah, Andy. And, you know, I'm on the Ravens on this one. I love the +3. I'd like to think the Packers show up at home for their, you know, preseason finale, kind of like you were saying for Arrowhead and the Chiefs. Maybe we see some more stars, but it wouldn't be a surprise to me if Matt LaFleur just kind of held out the first stringers again here. And if that's the case, I have no desire to back the depth pieces for Green Bay squad. I just don't think they have a really good depth. Ravens have shown their depth and still have, you know, a pedigree for this preseason football. You know, John Harbaugh football, and that's extended back multiple seasons. So give me Baltimore in this one. Ravens simply have the more trustworthy team in the preseason and overall.
Yeah, I think this line opened up at a Packers +1, so there's still a dog. This will be on NFL Plus. And speaking to the depth, Ravens, I don't know, the last 2,500 years, they've always had injuries on offense, on defense, and somehow they always end up in the playoffs.
No doubt about it.
They put together a season last year, same thing, running backs hurt inside and out, you know, rotating through, and they still had a 13-4 campaign.
Yeah.
On the other side, Green Bay went 9-8 last year, and they were celebrating that. They're like, oh, look how good we are.
It's
like,
we're back. We're back.
The Pack is back. Well, you're one game above 500.
Yeah.
Okay, so that total is at 34, that over-under. Like you said, like we mentioned the game prior, we are going to see a lot of guys right there at that cut line. We're not going to see very many first stringers. Maybe a couple series, a couple more just to, you know, knock the rust off and work out the kinks. But I still think, you know, you get in the second half of a game like this, it's going to get sloppy.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And this is pretty much saying, can each team pull out their 17 points? And that's what a lot of these are going at. Is it going to be 17-14 or is it going to be 17-20?
Right.
That is what most bookmakers are looking at in the preseason about where those spreads should be. Another reason I really like the Ravens in this, Josh Johnson, back quarterback, completed all of his 11 passes, attempted 120 yards and a touchdown last week. Emory Jones threw for 100 yards and a touchdown, went 7-for-9. And even Devin Leary also threw for 24 yards on 3-of-5 passing. So they got three pretty competent backups there that, you know, were kind of in the fold there. But Green Bay is coming to this preseason 1-1, ending up 27-2 loss to the Broncos last time out, Andy. Yeah. Only could put up 2 points.
Ew.
After the Packers close out their preseason, you know, they're heading into Brazil to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in primetime. So I think they do get a little more offense in this game, which would make me believe that over is the way to play, just because they have to get something going before they, you know, go on the road to Brazil, a weird game. They got to get this offense sparked a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Love and, you know, a couple of these other key pieces for the Packers play at least a couple series and get some points on the board.
You know, and this line has been really goofy. I mean, it opened up as basically a coin flip.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm seeing lines at Packers minus three. I mean, I get it that they're at home here and the Ravens are going to want to protect their guys because of the injuries we always talked about. But I think I'm siding with you here.
Yeah, no,
I think I like the Ravens.
Baltimore plus three, no matter what. They're going to be in the game, and if you're getting a field goal with the Ravens, you got to take it. So I believe this is one of the best bets for the NFL preseason this weekend is Baltimore plus three.
All righty. Well, let's stay right there on Friday. Another noon kickoff. Mm. The Minnesota Vikings are heading to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles, where the Eagles are currently a 1-point favorite. So much fun how tight these lines are.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a total at 33.5. You got the hook.
Yeah, Andy. Eagles 2-0 this preseason. They were 0-2-1 last preseason. So it's kind of funny how they flipped that. But, you know, Philadelphia trailed 13-6 late in the fourth quarter against New England, but they scored a touchdown, got the 2-point conversion for the win. You know, really fun end of the game there. But the Eagles outgained New England by a total of 283 yards to 159. They got a comparable, you know, Kenny Pickett is playing for them right now, 67 yards. Will Greer added 35. Tanner McGee, McKee threw for 140. So they got a whole bunch of guys in the fold right now, Andy. It's unclear if Jalen Hurts will play in this game at all, but either way, we should see plenty of Pickett, McKee, and Greer.
And the great white hope. Iowa's defensive back Cooper Dejean is making his NFL preseason debut, getting over his leg injury. So once again, tip of the cap to Iowa. Little flexer. I think he's the only white cornerback drafted in like the last, 50 years.
Jason Sehorn. I'm with it. Yeah, Jason Sehorn. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Good
old
reason.
New York Giant. But yeah, both of these teams have started the preseason, like we said, with two wins, and they look to go 3-0 with a victory in this matchup.
Yeah.
The Vikings have been very high scoring, Andy, which is kind of weird because they're missing J.J. McCarthy kind of stuff.
Yeah, God, but that's terrible.
First two games, Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins looked very good last week. Mm-hmm, both of these guys have played in the regular season for the Vikings, so that's kind of where that's coming from,
okay.
I believe, Andy, which has translated to success so far this preseason. My thing for this is I just think the quarterback options over on the Vikings right now in this preseason game are better, so I'm going to go with Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall over the Kenny Pickett and crew.
And Minnesota knew they were rolling the dice a little bit when they got rid of Cousins,
no doubt.
And if they're going to go the route of getting a high-flying rookie and hope to you know, get something out of him in year one, they knew that they would have to address the backup quarterback spot.
No doubt.
That is a great point you're making here, and I love that you're going against the grain and picking a road dog here, because this line's actually going against what you're thinking. It opened up at a coin flip of a -1 Eagles. Now I'm looking at current lines at about a -2.5, might reach 3 by kickoff.
Yeah.
Get those points and bet Minnesota if you're rolling with the Vikings.
Yeah, I think the Vikings should actually be favored in this matchup, Andy. So no matter what, if you can get them with +1, +2, money line, whatever, I believe the Vikings win this game and you know, end the preseason 3-0.
Same shtick here. We're sitting at 33.5, 34. It's the same thing. Can each team chip in their 14 or 17 points?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do believe that this will probably go over. Like I said, a lot of these guys are just fighting, you know, fighting. Will Greer, Kenny Pickett, McKee, and Mullins and Jaren Hall are all wanting to put that highlight out there to be the full-fledged backup quarterback. So I do believe there's going to be some risk taken, and with that comes some touchdowns or even some defensive touchdowns. So I really like the over in this, especially if you can get it down to 33 or 33.5.
All right, take the under. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you on this one, because I just going to sit back and enjoy this game and maybe steer clear of some of this fun stuff in the
there
preseason.
There you go. Yeah. No, Skol Vikings.
Skol
take
Vikings.
The over.
All right. Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the Eos, their Hefeweizen. It's a traditional German Hefeweizen that's a little sweeter, that's highlighted with notes of vanilla and nutmeg. Nebraska Brewing Company, world class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Ian D. Klassen, joined by...
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it.
Oh, and hey, it is college football.
We have college football.
Week zero. And it's a fun little slate of games here on this Saturday, this opening Saturday.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's awesome that we're not playing in week zero. Finally, not playing.
On the road against a ranked opponent or, you know, across the pond.
Yeah, exactly.
Against
Let somebody else do these conference or across the pond games.
I thought it showed pretty good humility or honesty or whatever you want to call it when head coach Matt Rhule of the Huskers said, I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, we don't like that.
We don't need to play. We don't need to play a conference game on the road to start this season. That's just fine. So yeah, first four games at home for the Huskers, and we'll get into that next week.
Yes, we will.
But we got to start with what's happening this week.
Yeah,
and we have a debut, ACC newbie, the SMU Mustangs. They are going to be kicking things off August 24th against the Nevada Wolfpack here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what are we looking at here? This is something else.
Big time.
Yeah, 24.5 point spread here, the Mustangs. And there's a lot of reason for that. They have such a strong offense, some just arcade-type numbers coming back, especially at quarterback. This line opened up at 22.5 back in August. It got bet all the way up to a 27.5 point favorite to SMU. It's been bet back down now to 24.5, and I think you're starting to see people get back on the Mustangs. Yeah. Where are you at this one?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Mustangs. Like you said, making their debut in the ACC after a really strong 2023 campaign, Andy, where they finished 11-3, their most wins in a season since 1982.
Mm-hmm.
The backfield is what I like to talk about, Andy, loaded with a three-headed monster. L.J. Johnson, Jalen Knighton, and Kamar Wheaton, all, you know, pro-style running backs. Yeah. On defense, the unit is almost entirely intact from last year. 10 of the 11 top tacklers returning, which is huge for them. Yeah. And on the other side of the ball, Andy, Nevada just does not look very strong.
Yeah, they've been down.
They're, they got a new guy coming in after finishing 2-10 for the second straight year. They have a quarterback coming in that we might know about. Chuba Purdy
is hurt.
Yeah, but he was fighting for the starting job at this place. So, and if we know what we know, yeah. I'm just saying, I think SMU runs away with this one big. I would bet it all the way up to 27 because I believe that's going to be by four touchdowns and more on SMU. I just love the massive number for the road game at the start of the year. I think this is a blowout, and SMU is going to throw a big number at him just to say, hey, we belong here. That we're in talks to win this conference as well.
SMU actually kind of slid into a spot where, you know, if they have ACC title aspirations, and they do, that means that they could make the playoff.
Yeah, no doubt
about
it.
Very easily make the playoff. You know, if the SEC beats each other up, Big Ten has a down year, whatever happens. I really like, you mentioned the running backs. I want to talk quarterback. Preston Stone from Tyler, Texas, had 3,197 yards last year. Okay, a lot of guys, you discredit that. You know, of course, it's a system guy. He threw 28 touchdowns and only 6 picks.
Yeah.
So with accuracy like that, the way he takes care of the football, and he has the numbers to back it up with the passing yardage, Mustang's going to roll. I usually don't like to bet favorites this big, but I think this one, I don't feel that bad about it.
Yeah, no. SMU thrashed better teams than this last year.
Yeah.
And 8 of their 11 wins coming by 18 or more points last year, Andy. Nevada was crushed early and often last year. Lost to Idaho, which is an FCS team,
right,
by 27 home.
At home to an FCS school.
At home.
Yeah.
Give me SMU big. This one's easy for me. SMU by 28 points easily.
The Mustangs.
24 and a half. Easy.
Mustangs going to run wild. The
let's
new
do it.
Member of the ACC. Okay, let's look at the 3 o'clock game here,
yeah,
on FS1. We are talking the Bobcats,
yeah,
of Montana State.
Montana
finding
State.
Themselves just got bet up to 11.5-point favorite on the road to New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple things at play here. I think we have a coaching debut,
yep,
don't we?
Yeah.
Mendenhall, right? Bronco? What's his name?
Richard.
Bronco Mendenhall is the new Richard, the new coach at New Mexico.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense the more you look at it why the Bobcats are such big favorites here, going on the road to take on New Mexico.
Yeah, the Lobos lost 4 of their last 5 games in 2023, finishing the season 4-8. Meanwhile, the Bobcats wound up 8-4 in the Big Sky Conference last year, which is why they're currently a 10-point betting favorite. The line has moved in favor of Montana State, who won all 8 games by at least 12 points or more in 2023. Despite playing a Mountain West opponent on the road, backing the Bobcats to cover the spread is the best bet.
Really?
Montana State, give me the Bobcats.
I mean, they do have returning senior starting quarterback Tommy Malott, and just like how we talked about SMU, when you have that type of leadership coming back at the top, and everything's intact, sometimes you just gotta, you know, kind of plug your nose, pinch your nose, and take that road favorite, even when it is a big number like that. This is still college football.
It's still college football, and I know Montana State is a non-FBS team traveling to face New Mexico, but I just don't.
Programs are at a different state right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I just do not feel good at all about New Mexico, and I think Montana State just has that product, like you said, has a good returning product. Yeah. And
I actually watched a couple of their games
exactly.
last year. It was fun.
And that's the reason that they are picked by 10 and will win by 10.
They're going to cover that, huh?
No doubt.
A lot of the shows I've been listening to last couple of weeks kind of pinpoint the total at 53.5, and they like the under.
Yeah, no, I like the under as well, just because I don't believe New Mexico is going to score that much, and Montana State's not going to really push down on that throttle to, you know, blow them out.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do like the under in this game, Andy, especially for those 2 points that you were just talking about as well.
All right, should we...
let's go to the big one.
Let's move on to the big one.
The big one.
Noon kickoff, 11 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. The 10th-ranked Seminoles, the Florida State Seminoles, are 10.5-point favorites against Georgia Tech. A little bit of a game, a little bit of a place we know all about in Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah.
At Avia Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun, but folks are saying Florida State... Oh, that might be a lot of points against a
10.5 points.
10.5 points against the Georgia Tech team.
Yeah, no, Andy, I like exactly how you explained that. The Florida State Seminoles are more talented, obviously.
Sure.
Having a full offseason to prepare gives them even a bigger edge. However, Andy, Georgia Tech returns a lot of players from a year ago, especially on offense.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yellow Jackets should be able to have some sort of success moving the ball.
Yeah,
it is also, travel playing in Dublin, the fact that they're playing on a rugby soccer stadium style kind of thing, which sometimes leads to weird field and footing issues.
Uh-huh.
We saw a little bit of that. FSU's inexperience at skill position in breaking in a new quarterback, I think this might take a week or two to get them really going, Andy.
Oh.
So I like the value of Georgia Tech in the points. Give me plus 10.5 right now with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, you mentioned the quarterback. He's not a new quarterback. He's just new.
New to Florida State.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
I mean, remember when he was a front runner preseason Heisman?
No doubt.
Hopeful for Clemson. That was like what? 18 years ago.
In Oregon State.
And Oregon State. But he just can't stand it. Got to jump back into the portal. Had a good year at Oregon State. Now he's at Florida State.
Yeah.
And he is one of those guys that gets hot, cold, up and down.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I feel like we're ready for a down cycle. Maybe there's just too much talent around him at Florida State where that's going to safeguard him a little bit.
I'm not saying that, Andy. I mean, obviously this guy has talent. He had over 8,000 yards and 57 touchdowns at Clemson in Oregon State.
Yeah.
But Florida State is going to have to find these new playmakers on the outside, losing top three receivers. From a year ago. So I just believe that it's going to take a little bit of feeling out for this, you know, top ranked ACC powerhouse to figure out how they're going to play against a pretty formidable opponent in Georgia Tech that's not going to roll over on them. So I really like 10.5 points because I believe it's going to be close. I do believe Florida State wins in the end, but give me the Yellow Jackets with the points.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and I'm going to throw something else at you. Yep. Our guy, Jimmy Allen over there at After Hours. Yes,
baby.
He retweeted today in the Brent Key era, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
When they're a favorite, they are 1-4 against the spread. Okay. However, when they're an underdog, he is 12-3 against the spread.
Let's go.
Give me the Jackets over
plus
Florida State.
+10.5 Take the Yellow Jackets. Over under, Andy, 55.5
You
probably. I think this might be a little bit too many points for this opening game.
You think so? I don't know.
I don't like going over there. I don't think anybody's going to be that spry in this game. I think it's going to be a little bit of a back and forth.
A little bit of a pillow fight in the first half.
Exactly.
You know, we saw that a couple years ago.
It could get up to 55.5 I'm going to sidestep this, but if I had to bet it, Andy, would be the under. So give me the under. But like I said, I'm probably going to sidestep that. Just take the 10.5 with the Yellow Jackets and take that to the bank.
All right. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I agree with you again. Too many good points. And it's week zero.
Week zero.
I mean,
we don't know nothing.
Those offenses can't be clicking quite yet, can they?
Defense always starts
a little bit ahead. And Georgia Tech's had a decent enough defense.
They still got Calvin Johnson, right?
Calvin Johnson. Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Glass, and joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
And we are heading right back to Las Vegas.
Yes, we are.
The Apex UFC Fight Night with an interesting card here.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's still talking about UFC 304.
No doubt.
Everybody's gearing up for 305. I'm already seeing some fun, what would you call it, mudslinging.
Bunch of talk. No, it's going to be a really good one, so I can't wait for all that. But, yeah, this is a good fight night, though, I think.
It is. And let's start with the main card here, a welterweight bout. A guy we've heard and we've seen a lot of, Neil Magny, is taking on a kind of a rising star here. And Michael Morales, the youngster out of Ecuador, is 16-0. Not only is he 16-0, outweighs Magny by 15 pounds, 185 to 170 is what they weighed in at. He's also a little bit younger, and he's also your minus 900 favorite.
Yeah, Andy. Magny, I mean, just to put it out there, Magny is 37 years old, and this is a perfect example, Andy, of a gatekeeper that isn't good enough to contend for a title anymore, but he's a tough guy to fight for a guy who's trying to move up the rankings.
Right.
We say it almost every week when we're talking about UFC, but he's long, he's rangy, and he showed, you know.
He's coming off a win.
He's got really great cardio, Andy, one of the best in the business, and this will be a great test for Morales. Morales is young, getting better with every fight, and his striking is always on point, but you can see that his defense, his clinch, his ring control are really improving quickly. He's 16-0, like you said, and he's not going to finish his career undefeated. So I have to decide if this is the fight that he gives him his first time. But first of all, -900 is a ridiculous price against somebody like Magny. So I don't think that Morales is going to have, you know, a slip up here, or, you know, he's going to lose or anything. But if you do want to find some betting.
Yeah, where's the value at? Is it by decision, by submission?
What are we looking for this fight to go the distance, Andy. It's at -155.
Okay.
It's for Magny to, you know, kind of limp his way to this finish line here. Don't be surprised if every round is close with Morales edging out in a close win. But the way to bet this fight is to take take it to go to the distance. Both guys are patient. They don't get in big mistakes. The cardio is no issue for either of them. Even if it's a bit juicy, it's a great parlay piece at minus 155.
Yeah, and both of them have average fight times of over 12 minutes
for, sure.
for those three rounds. But 69% of the time, nearly 70% of the time, Morales does get the KO or TKO. So that's maybe something to think about as that line gets closer.
No, definitely. If you want to, you know, jump on Morales by KO, that's definitely somewhere we can find value at. But my best one is I think Neil Magny does take this to the end. He gets a fight to go to the distance. So minus 155, that's where my
value play is at. Going in. Okay, yep. And then you did mention that part. You do have a parlay for us at the end, don't you?
I do have a parlay, and that will be in it.
A little foreshadowing
there.
A little teaser.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on up the card here. And we're talking about how there's a little intrigue to this card, and I think this is right at the top of that list.
Yeah.
We're talking about the women's strawweight. We have the number 9 contender in the world in this weight class.
Yeah.
Angela Hill. We've seen her so much over the years. Taking on the Brazilian Tabitha Ricci, who's the number 11 contender, a little bit of a youngster, moving her way up, like you're talking about, trying to make that title run in this strawweight division. They're both there sitting at a minus 110.
Yeah, Andy, this is going to be a really good fight, I believe. Angela Hill has looked great in her last two fights and even got her first submission. Yeah.
Both ladies are coming off wins.
Yep. Where was I at? She's 39 years old. Angela Hill is. She's been at the best level she's ever fought at, but I think Ricci is going to be, you know, better in this one.
Yeah.
She's 10 29. Years young. Yeah. She's 29, 10 years younger. I think she's going to be faster. I think she's going to be stronger. Ricci's coming off a really hard-fought win against Pennington, where she showed great cardio, and she is able to edge out Pennington in some of the clinch and striking battles to get a close win. Hill has taken advantage of glaring weaknesses in her last couple of opponents, in Gomes' bad ground game and Pinheiro's inability to deal with any type of adversity. Yeah. Ricci doesn't have those weaknesses, and Hill's has some spotty striking defense, Andy. So, in fact, she got cut by Pinheiro before getting the finish. Ricci is going to be too strong and accurate with her striking over the three rounds. I like Ricci to win this one. I have to go against the American here, and I don't like it.
Yeah, you know, and there's so many things to like about Hill. She's got that experience factor,
no doubt.
But sometimes that, like you mentioned, that works against you. In the UFC, when it starts to work against you, it works against you in a fast way.
Yeah.
However, Hill is coming off a victory in her last bout.
No doubt.
She has Ricci in every weight reach. She gets her by 3.5 inches with the arm, and then 2.5 inches with the leg reach.
Yep.
So she does have some advantages. There's just too much to like about Ricci on this one for you.
Yeah, Andy. The only thing that I have for Angela Hill is that I like Overkill as her nickname better than Baby Shark on the other side.
Baby
so
Shark.
No, Angela Hill. You know, one of the best in the strawweight, and you know, one of my favorite fighters for a long time. But I do believe that Tabitha Ricci is 10 years younger. She's going to be faster, she's going to be stronger, and she's going to get the win here at Fight Night.
Hill has one more loss on her overall record in the UFC, 17-13, than Ricci's entire fight catalog.
Yeah, 10-2.
So Baby Shark has been zooming up the strawweight bout, and it just kind of looks like two fighters and, you know, going in different directions.
Yeah,
two ships passing in the night.
Yes, it is.
Well said. Okay, let's talk about that main event then.
Let's do it. This is going to be good too.
This I do like this one. Jared Cannonier.
Yes.
Cairo Barro from Brazil is the number 12 contender in the world, taking on Cannonier, who we just saw in June. Killer Gorilla. But man, things did not go his way. He basically got knocked out.
Yeah.
He is still the number five overall ranked contender in this middle class weight belt. Really speaks how good Cannonier is.
For sure.
Coming off a loss and still staying in the top five like that. 17-7, excellent body of work. I feel like Jared Cannonier has been up and down his last few fights.
Yeah.
And the same cannot be said for this young man hailing out of Brazil.
Yeah, KO, the natural is his nickname. So you know that he's coming out. I've been on board with him since he cashed in on the Contender Series and been a cash cow for the UFC ever since.
16-1, 6-0
in the UFC, and I think this makes it 7-0, Annie. Jared Cannonier, 40 years old, coming off, getting finished, like you said, in the fourth round by Imanov.
He's 40. He just turned 40.
Yes, he did. And I don't think he'll be able to keep on his feet in this fight, which is where you need to be if Cannoneer has a chance to win this. The Natural is a mastermind behind the Fighting Nerds Gym, who have immense success recently, and they are brilliant when coming up with a game plan and making sure their fighters are in implement position to win. Yeah. So the game plan for The Natural is pretty obvious, and that is to strike for a bit to set up a double leg takedown where Kayo excels and Jared Cannoneer does not. Once he shoots clean and gets his opponent on the ground, he's so strong and skilled at this, the hooks are in and it's going to be dominating. Cannoneer will be his biggest test so far, but he's got the age, athleticism, ground game advantages. Kayo's got this big time.
Where Barro, you don't feel he's overpriced right now at a minus 230, minus 250?
Yeah, oh yeah, no doubt about it that, you know, you can take the plus 200 with Jared Cannoneer and you can feel good about the value there. All I'm telling
you, though,
I do not feel good about it because I can just tell you what's going to happen. Exactly what I just said. He's gonna stand up for him a little bit. Cannoneer's going to make a mistake, and he's going to get taken to the ground, and that is bye bye birdie.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the stats here, comparisons when you get into the grappling and when you get to the mat, those categories, and there's no comparison. Cannoneer does not want this thing to go to the mat, and you know that's exactly what Kayo wants to do.
Kayo is going to get him on the ground, and it might be kind of a snooze fest. If it stays up on its feet, this could be a very, very close fight, and Cannoneer could edge it out. So the couple things that you want to look for, Andy, with value bets or taking a shot, so to speak,
yep,
Jared Cannoneer by KO is at plus 400 right now. So if you're on the Killer Gorilla, that is your best bet there, plus 400. Or you can go on the other side. Kayo, the Natural, is at a plus 425 for submission or a plus 190 by decision. I'm going to sidestep all that, Andy, and put that minus 245 in my parlay. It's not drooling over it or anything, but it's the third leg that I believe is going to happen in this. Yeah. I believe he gets the win over Jared Cannoneer. I love the Killer Gorilla, but I just believe this guy is too fast, too strong, and going to get him on the ground.
Yeah, just to back up what you said there, the Killer Gorilla wins 63% of his fights by KO.
Yeah.
On the other side, Kayo wins 25% and 44% either by decision or submission. So you're looking at two fighters that totally go about it in a different direction, but that's still not overwhelming enough for me to bet any one of those props.
Yeah, no doubt, Andy. I just believe that, you know, you see the plus 190 for Kayo, the Natural, for win by decision, because that's what's most likely going to happen.
Yeah.
This ground game is going to be too much for Jared to, you know, sustain 4 or 5 rounds.
Yeah,
But I do really like that plus 425 submission, because I do believe at some point Jared's going to make a mistake on the ground and get himself in a position to get submitted. So if I was going to put a flyer out there at that plus 400 mark, it would be Kayo Barajo by submission at plus 425.
All righty, you've been teasing it. Let's hear it. What is that parlay play?
Yeah, it's the three bets that I really just went through. It's Neil Magny, Michael Morales to go the distance, minus 155. Tabitha Ritchie, money line, minus 110. And then Kayo Barajo, the Natural, to win, money line, minus 245 right now. You put all three of those together for a plus 342, putting 25 on that to win 110.
I really like that you stayed moneyline there with that middleweight bout to wrap it up there. Run through it one more time. I think I like it.
It's Neil Magny, Michael Morales, fight to go the distance at minus 155. Tabitha Ritchie to beat Angela Hill, minus 110 moneyline. And Kayo Barajo, the Natural, minus 245. Not as juicy as you want it to be, Andy, but you put all three together, plus 342, putting $25 on it to win 110.
And there you have it, the parlay.
Let's go. Let's hit one.
That's spoken. Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. World class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, and I'm joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it.
We've been talking football, college football, UFC, Let's get back into the NFL.
NFL.
Here we go. We're going to close out week three, the final week of the preseason, and we're going big time.
Yep.
We're getting to the big D.
The big D.
The boys, the Cowboys, are hosting the Chargers of L.A., and they are currently a 3.5-point dog. Dallas is your home favorite. That total right now, it's moving. Just got bumped up to 33 square.
Yeah, Andy, I like the Cowboys and I like the over. Just to put it out there right away, Andy. I don't like laying the points in preseason, but the Chargers offense is so bad, Andy.
It's something.
I'm just not sure how they keep close in this game. The Chargers offense isn't good and they are really struggling I just think they're going to really struggle to keep this game close. The Cowboys will get good quarterback play. Trey Lance.
He'll get a couple of series in.
He had a ton of run against the Raiders last week. Mm-hmm. Led the offense to 27 points. Lance completed 15 of 23 for 151 yards and a touchdown. Also rushed for 34 yards and a touchdown. I just believe
saw the highlights.
They're just heads and toes better than this Chargers team. And I think this is really about how the Chargers are going to be this season as well.
Oh yeah, you we had our guy over.
J.O.
Our Charger fan. I thought he was going to choke slam you over there. He's a big
he's gonna
WWE
have to.
Guy.
I'm not changing my mind on that.
I also like Cooper Rush for the Cowboys. That 1-2 punch at quarterback here late in the preseason. I just think they're, like you were saying, head and shoulders above what the Chargers can offer. And you also got Jim Harbaugh just totally wrecking the set. He is resetting that entire offense. And it's going to get moved back to kind of a ground and pound. I know he's got Justin Herbert, and that's where his head's at, though, is like, how can I get this to be a power offense with my high-flying quarterback? They're still putting the pieces together with the Chargers. With all that said, I think I like the over here, don't I?
No, I like the Cowboys, and I like the over, too, Andy. Like I said, Trey Lance by himself led the offense 27 points last week. That means that, you know, Chargers just have to score a touchdown, which I believe that they can.
Yep,
Easton
yep.
Stick still over there, Luis Perez. I believe that they can get a touchdown, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to be able to take care of the rest. So give me the Cowboys by 3.5. Give me the over 33.5 points.
I like that over as well. Should we move on over to Denver?
The other D.
Are they called the little D?
They should be. Let's say that.
Oh,
that
come
they are.
On. They're 3-0, right?
They are 3-0.
They're
looking 2-0. To finish 3-0.
They're 2-0 in the preseason right now, turning some heads with some positive quarterback play. We'll say it. I do like what Bo Nix has been doing
thus
far.
The starter, Bo Nix.
Yes, the newly named starter.
Yeah.
And the Arizona Cardinals on the other side of that. They are 0-2 right now, and I don't know if there's much you can really point to really like the Cardinals here.
No.
They're a 3.5-point dog to your home favorite, the Denver Broncos. That game's going to be on CBS, 3:30 kickoff. Total's bumped up a little bit, and it continues to get bet up, currently at 35.5. You got the hook.
Yeah, Andy, it's just because the Denver has so much better look at quarterback. Even if Bo Nix doesn't get a lot of play in this game, you still got Jarrett Stidham, who has been a starter in the league.
Yep.
You have Zach Wilson. You have Zach Wilson, who has been a starter in the league as well. So you got two comparable quarterbacks there. On the other side, it's just you got Toon and you got Ritter under center, which doesn't inspire much confidence for them. Kyler Murray will not play in this game for the Cardinals. So I just have a lot more faith in Stidham and Wilson. So I believe the Denver Broncos are the way to do, and I believe they cover this 4 points for sure.
Including the preseason, Arizona's 1-5 straight up, their last six. They're also 1-5 against the spread, their last six against Denver. That includes preseason and regular season. There's just too many signs pointing towards the Broncos here. I don't think we need to get fancy with this. I'm just going to go with the home team here, right?
Yeah, that's the way you do it. And Denver defeated Indianapolis by a score of 34-30, so they can put a lot of points on the board, and Arizona cannot keep up with that.
Mm.
So there's just no way. The Arizona Cardinals are 0-2 in the preseason for a reason, and they lost to the same team by a score of 21-13, so doesn't look like they're going to score enough points.
Okay, but if those Cardinals can chip in those 13 points, that lends itself to that over.
It does get close, Andy. I just don't believe that the Broncos are going to have to push the envelope,
right,
aren't going to have to score a lot. I don't like this over-under as much as I like other ones.
You think they're going to usher out that quarterback a little earlier this time around?
I do, Andy, and I do believe this is going to get bet up a little bit too, so I wouldn't be surprised to see this to 38 points by the time this kicks off. So if anything, I'm going to go with the under, but I'm probably sidestepping this. Give me the Broncos. I think it's one of the better bets of the weekend in NFL preseason.
I mean, it's over field goal. It's 3.5. I love it how they do that.
Yeah.
But come on. Broncos can they do a solid for us. One more in the preseason.
Broncos will win this by a touchdown.
All righty. Well, let's talk about a game that's not getting bet up as much on the offensive side.
Let's go.
That is the New England Patriots heading on over to Washington, D.C., the district, to take on the Commanders, formerly known as the Redskins, where the Redskins are a home dog.
Mm-hmm.
4 points. You got that total sitting on a square 34.
Yeah, Andy, I don't expect the Washington Commanders to give Jaden Daniels much time at quarterback on Sunday.
No.
They've named him the starter, especially after seeing his promise in the first couple preseason games. He looks really fun, Andy. He looks like he does look like a viable fantasy option, like I talked about in last week's show. So run that back if you'd like to hear more about that. But if projection comes to fruition, Andy, it's hard to imagine Washington scoring much with either Jeff Driscoll or Trace McSorley getting the majority of the snaps. So, I think I'm just targeting
is that
this
the Penn
under.
State guy?
It is
the old Penn State guy.
Old Trace. Yeah. So I'm going to target that under, Andy. If I can get it under 35, for the Patriots Commanders, I believe that's the best bet in this game straight across the board.
Yeah, I was catching some content coming out of some DraftKings guys, and that's their best bet is that under.
Yeah.
So I do think it's going to get bet down. So get on it earlier, sooner than later. Do you think we're going to see a lot of Drake May? Are you drinking the Drake May Kool-Aid out of the Patriots quarterback camp?
Well, I think, Drake May, he made a major impression last week, obviously, in their game against the Eagle, as he led the New England offense down the field for his first ever touchdown drive.
Yeah.
While that game might have been enough to sell Patriots fans on the rookie QB, head coach Jared Mayo has indicated that May will indeed play in the preseason finale, but it's expected that he'll only play a couple of drives, or they score on that opening one, that could be enough for him and say, okay, let's put him on the bench. The problem for the New England occurs as soon as May leaves the field,
right?
The Patriots often gets more stagnant with Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe under center.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence that both New England games during the preseason have finished with a point total of 20 and 27 respectively. I wouldn't expect anything different this one. I really love that under, Andy, and I don't know what side to go with, picking sides here. I really don't know.
Yeah, that 4 points, it's intriguing. Talking about the under, just go back to basically the last two seasons of New England.
Yeah.
They've smacked that under 12 of the last 18 games.
Yeah.
And, whether it's preseason or not, and Zappe is a big part of that,
for sure.
Over those last 18 games. So that's what I think is leading to a lot of this rhetoric of betting the under in Washington. I mean, come on, if you don't have the young highlight show out there, what can you offer?
What can you do? You got a couple guys that have been in the league for a while that are kind of game-managed style quarterbacks with Jeff Driscoll and Trace McSorley, one from Florida, one from Penn State, like you said. I don't know what to do. I would side with the Commanders if I had to pick a side. I had to pick a side, just because I do not like Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe. Can't move the ball that New England side. So I guess give me the Commanders, but the under is the way to go. Give me that under.
I like the under, and the under is smacked 5 of the last 6 times these two teams have squared off. That's not preseason, but we'll take stats where we can get them.
Yeah, you got to put it in.
The under has also hit 5 of the last 7 times that these two teams have squared off.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to believe that that's going to change.
I don't believe so.
And Washington is having a real tough time at home.
Yeah.
This game is at home. So everything's pointing towards the New England Patriots, and they're not the New England Patriots anymore.
No, they're not.
But for this preseason game, I might have to look at them like they are.
Yeah.
I might have to bet them that way anyway.
Well, I mean, if you can get a couple drives out of Drake May and they score on those drives, I can definitely see this heading for the New England way.
But you don't feel comfortable with laying the 4.
I don't feel comfortable laying the four. I'd rather go with the home team on that. I believe the, you know, the Commanders will try and do what they can to win this game if it's just field goals or whatever they can do to put points up. But I do know one thing. These two teams will not combine for 35 points.
No, they're even if they wanted to, I don't think they're capable.
Even if they keep the starters in, they can't do it. No, I won't say that. But no, I love the under, and if I had to back somebody, it's the Commanders. Obviously, you might back the Patriots, but that's my very weak lean, depending on the play of
Mr.
Drake May.
Yeah, that's like a lean, you know, those lean-to buildings that they build after they build the main structure, and it's not actually doing anything.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just part
really,
of it.
Yeah, just really weak there. So, you shared a parlay with us for UFC. You don't have anything cooking for the NFL preseason.
Well, I mean, I gave you my best bets, Andy, and I'll run through a couple of them. And obviously, this one is one of my favorites is the under in the New England Patriots and the Washington Commanders. Taking the spread on the Dallas Cowboys game is definitely one of mine.
Yep,
and
then
I love the Chicago Bears to go into Arrowhead and win that game.
Okay.
I believe the money line for the Chicago Bears, the spread for the Dallas Cowboys, and the under in the New England Patriots and Washington Commanders game are my three best bets of this weekend in the preseason.
I am trying to hold fast as far as jump on the bandwagon for the Chicago Bears.
Of course, you're a Bears fan. You have to.
There's a lot of things to like.
Yeah.
But in this spot, and we talked about the Chiefs and the Bears, and in this spot, I do like the Bears because how this game matters so much differently to Chicago than to Kansas. Kansas City doesn't need this game.
They don't care at all.
And Andy Reid's track record shows that. He's 46-49 in the preseason.
They do not care.
Eberflus on the other side is 7-2 against the spread.
No doubt.
In the preseason.
And
so
the Bears defense is playing lights out right now.
You
saw how bad Kansas City defense backups are at defense.
Yep.
So I just think it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's really scary saying, you know, the Chiefs are going to lose at home and all that kind of stuff.
Not this spot.
Preseason, it happens. They are going to be gearing up for the first game of the regular season and putting all their chips towards that. So give me the Bears, give me the Cowboys, and give me the under in the Commanders game.
Hoorah! Bear down.
Let's go.
Might be the last time you hear me say that. But I'll get it in when I can.
Yeah.
Well, that'll about do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page. We're over on X, formerly known as Twitter. And if you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. We got a couple more feature-length videos coming out detailing fantasy football. We'll also have some shorts coming on out on YouTube Shorts. And you're holding it down over on TikTok.
Yeah. Make sure you follow us on WTL Sports Betting on TikTok for all those short videos.
For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.